I'm Anna.
And I'm Jillian.
And this
is the Hat Picks Podcast.
Just two dope ladies talking about soccer from across the country on the podcast no one asked for.
We are recording.
It was our birthday. We did this for a whole year.
Oh, yeah. I was like, it was not our birthday. We were just talking about this. You're in July. I'm next month. And then I realized. Yeah. That makes a lot more sense.
We're switching context very rapidly here at Hat Picks.
Except you aren't with us for the ride because we started before we started recording.
Yeah, Anna and I gather like on our, we use this thing called Zencaster, and we gather on there and talk and, you know, work out what we're going to do and shoot the shit. And then we just like hit recording and suddenly.
It's pod time.
But I feel like sometimes the segue is not so smooth.
Sometimes?
Always.
There are some things that we're very good at, and there are some things that we're not. And I feel like segues falls into the we're not good at category.
That is correct. You are correct about that. Oh my God. What a day.
I feel like we haven't done this in like 3 years. We haven't even been doing it for that long, but I just feel like we've forgotten. Like, we did this all a half hour ago. Like, it's like we've never done this before. Amateurs.
I texted Anna last night at like 8:30 my time probably and was like, so hey, what time are we doing this tomorrow? I've done nothing. I was like, I haven't even watched highlights for anything. And she was like, oh, cool, me either. I started a doc and I have like 3 things written in it. So, you know, we did it. We're here. And I actually feel really good about the stuff that we picked. Like, we know how to, we can work on the fly. We can make this shit happen.
And it's not like we aren't aware of the things that are happening as they happen. We just aren't like able to watch every game, able to go back and watch the highlights after every game. Like, we keep tabs on the good shit that's happening, but we don't like make deep and intense notations as we go. Are you having fun?
In the pod when I've been editing, I'm really like quiet, like, which it used to be the opposite. And so I've also found when listening, I have to turn the volume up and down a lot, which I also assume our 5 listeners have to do. So I'm trying to get my gain right so that I'm not screaming into it, which I used to do. I just have a wide vocal range, as we've discussed many times. So just trying to find a balance here.
It's important. Important.
And it might just be the fact that I do have that wide range and I talk very quietly and very loudly in the same sentence. And that's why you have to turn it up and down and not because of the actual volume of my recording. But we're going to experiment and see because it's our podcast. We do what we want.
Which we will remind you at every opportunity we have.
I am certain that I wrote that down somewhere.
Oh, I definitely did. I absolutely did.
Sweet. Perfect. Dope. Let's dive right in. Jump right in because we got places to be and things to do. And by that, I mean it's Sunday and I would like to continue to do nothing after this.
Yes, I would like to put my plant stand together, pot my plants, and watch football. Like the millennial I am.
I was like, did you know that Anna and I are 100 years old? Okay, so this week, my number 3 hat pick is Mitch Purse absolutely crushing it as the season comes to a close. Hello, my name is Jillian, and I am the president of the Mitch Purse Fan Club. Please send any inquiries for interviews to hatpickspod@gmail.com. Thank you. First, I would like to say that no one on this podcast should be surprised that this is a pick, that Midge Purse is a pick. I want to say firmly and definitively that Hat Picks never slept on Midge Purse.
Never.
But you know who did? Flacco fucking Andonofsky. You know who did? As a at Southern Silves, who is one half of Shea Butter FC, which is 2 Black women's perspectives on soccer, which sounds like a podcast I'm about to start listening to. put it on Twitter. Yeah, I'm always going to be mad about how U.S. soccer did Midge in the same way I'll always be mad about how they did Crystal Dunn. She was always this. The Federation is just full of foolish people. And you know what? That's so goddamn right. So goddamn right. I can't even tell you. And also, as Mick Linehan said on Twitter, I did a deep dive on Twitter this morning. I don't really get on Twitter, but I was like, if I want to know something about women's soccer, you know where I need to go? Twitter.
There are so many incredible – I really should be better about our Hat Pigs Pod Twitter, but there are so many incredible soccer voices for women's soccer in general on Twitter that are – the opinions are wide and varied and diverse, and it is truly incredible. And maybe if I am capable of getting my shit together, our Twitter will share them with you, dear listeners.
No promises, though.
Absolutely
not. We'll do our best. We'll try to mention them on here, too, so that you can go look it up. But, you know, we're not perfect. But Meg Linehan said on Twitter, Midge Purse is, quote, inevitable these days. And I was like, I've never read something quite so true on the tweeters ever or ever heard. You know, it's just, she is a force. She is beauty and she's grace. Somebody call 911 because Midge Purse's fire is burning on the dance floor, i.e. the field, i.e. the literal world, because she is a goddamn queen.
What a niche song reference.
Yes, were you alive in 2009?
Were you listening to Sean Kingston like we were?
So anyway, the NWSL season is coming to a close pretty soon, and Gotham is still in the hunt for a playoff spot, and Midge Purse is on the hunt for greatness, and she is fucking slaying the competition. She now has 9 goals on the season, putting her in second place for the Golden Boot. She still has 2 games to play, y'all. That is 180 minutes of time for Midge Purse to shine. I cannot wait to see what she does. Like, good for Ashley Hatch for getting that 10th goal, getting in that number one spot. But just in the last week, Midge Purse has scored 3 goals. A brace against North Carolina in Gotham's 3-0 win, and then 1 lone goal against KC in their draw. I mean, like, at that rate, yes.
That's all, like, I have to say. That's like Vivian Miedema rate.
Yeah. It just, the amount of rage that lives in me when I think about the fact that she was not on that Olympic squad and was not called up for these friendlies. Like, what is wrong with you, U.S. soccer? A question we could not answer in the amount of time we have here today, because there is so much wrong with U.S. soccer. But we love Midge Purse. I could easily see her winning that Golden Boot, clinching that shit. She got Player of the Week last week because of that gorgeous performance against North Carolina. And I think that she's going to be riding the same momentum that she has been riding all season, because she is a consistent and valuable player.
Oh, I think very much, Captain Obvious.
Look, we just love Midge Purse on this pod and support this on fireness. You go, Midge Purse. We love you.
4 for you, Midge Purse. You go, Midge Purse. Let's see how many weird references we can just fit in here.
Oh my God. Well, I got Miss Congeniality in there.
Uh-huh. And Sean Kingston song.
And Mean Girls.
Back to soccer. My number 3 hat pick this pod is Arsenal being number 1 in the WSL right now. And Tobin's first goal with Arsenal.
We love it.
This had to be one of my picks today because I'm wearing my new Arsenal jersey, repping Tobin Heath. It's beautiful and I love it. It's their yellow away jersey. It is everything I wanted it to be, and I look like an Anna Banana.
This is funny because, A, very common nickname for people with Anna.
Yes.
But also, Anna's her Instagram handle, maybe your Twitter, I don't know, is Anna Plantain, because she's, you know, hilarious.
Look at me being subversive. Okay. Anyway. Arsenal's at the top of the standings in the WSL right now and are the only unbeaten team in the league, which we absolutely love to see. Chelsea and Tottenham are trailing behind them with only 1 loss each, but that's okay because you know who they lost to? Arsenal. Incredible.
We love it.
They have a new coach this season, and I really think that it was the kind of refresher that this team needed. I think they kind of got comfortable in the same way we see Orlando getting comfortable. On paper, they have been incredible. Arsenal has always had top-notch players on their side, much like Orlando with Alex Morgan, Marta, Kriegs, Ashlyn Harris. But the past few seasons, they have been on a kind of steady decline. Now that Arsenal has a new coach with a fresh perspective that the players talk about a lot. I think it's been really good for them, and hopefully the same will happen to Orlando, who are unfortunately not in the postseason. But you know what else has been really good for Arsenal?
What?
Tobin Heath.
Say it again for the people in the back, Anna.
Tobin Heath. Tobin Heath scored her first goal with the team in a Champions League match, no less. Champions League is currently in the group stages, and Arsenal, after being handedly beaten by reigning champions Barcelona in a 4-1 loss, it's okay, we won't talk about it. Anyway, they played against the lesser-known TSG Hoffenheim from the German Bundesliga.
Yeah.
Where they absolutely crushed. But back to Tobin Heath. In the closing minutes of the first half, Arsenal were up 1-0 thanks to a penalty taken by the captain, Kim Little. And then stoppage time comes around. And, you know, Arsenal's like, you know what's not good enough? A 1-0 lead. It's just, it's like, what if? And hear me out. We could have more goals. And then in the 46th minute, Leah Williamson sends a ball through, which finds the feet of Kim Little, who, can I just take a quick moment to say, is one of the goddamn smartest players on the field at any given moment, because she felt the pressure around her and sends a quick one-touch give-and-go to Frida Monum, who's also been scoring a lot of goals for Arsenal, which we also love to see. Anyway.
Yes.
Who then, you know, Little receives the ball back, goes back to Manum, because, again, Little's so smart. Manum sends the ball out wide to Katie McCabe, who sends just a banger into the box, which finds the head of Miedema, who, again, just the amount of players on this team who are so smart and so aware of what's happening around them. Miedema is constantly surrounded by players because she's one of the top goal scorers in the world. And she heads the ball forward, but it's very clear that it's not with the intention to score. There wasn't enough on it. There wasn't enough, like, purpose. But she saw that Tobin Heath was available for it, so she sends it down. And Tobin Heath volleys it to the back of the net. Just like impeccable teamwork. Wow. Incredible. We love to see it.
Incredible. Throwback. I mean, just those two together on the same team. Like,
wow.
I mean, obviously with Kim Little too, but like with
this Arsenal team has, I think, and it's no shade to players who have recently left the team, like Jill Roard or Daniela Vandedonk. But I think that this team needed a veteran player like Tobin Heath,
yes,
alongside Kim Little. I think Kim Little was carrying a lot in terms of that veteran status. And it's not that a lot of these other players haven't played at the highest level for a while, but they have also not been on as many teams in terms, yeah, of their club career. And so with players like Kim Little and now Tobin Heath, I think that that veteran mentality of understanding the longevity of the game that they're actually playing,
yeah,
is super helpful.
Absolutely.
Anyway, that's my number three hat pick because Tobin Heath.
Of course it is. Not that anybody feels as passionately about this as we do who listens to this podcast, but there'd be some rage in the streets if you didn't bring up Arsenal and Tobin Heath.
And by rage in the streets, it just means us.
It would just be us. All right, moving right along to my number two, Ebony Salmon. You guessed it. Our favorite Brit with a fish last name, okay, was back.
But I have to, I got it. I'm also talking about a Brit with a fish last name.
Oh, shit.
Can this pod just be Brit with a fish? Brits with fish.
I even thought about it for a minute. I was like, no, this is a safe joke to make.
I mean, she is one of our top two favorite Brits with a fish last name.
Yes. Yep. Anyway, yes. Anyway, Ebony Salmon was back at it again with the white bands.
Damn.
Daniel. Wow. Okay. I'm just like now going to just try to like slide niche references into this. Okay.
Yeah.
She was back at it against Orlando on October 16th in Louisville's 3-1 victory over the Pride. Salmon had a foot in every goal, including a goal of her own and two baller ass assists. She was not messing around, probably because number one, she is dope as hell. And number two, Orlando was the team that did Nadia Nadim dirty with that ACL injury. So she was out for blood. Let's review. Literally moments before stoppage time, and because there was like only a minute added, so like that does not leave much time. Gunni, Jan's daughter, passes it right to Yuki Nagasato. Now, you might be thinking, so a player passed the ball. This is problematic because Jan's daughter is on Orlando and Yuki Nagasato is on Louisville, just for reference. So Nagasato one touch passes it to Ebony Salmon, I think. It was a pass. I think it was one touch. Salmon takes it to the 18, like the half circle on the outside of the 18. So like not even to the 18, like a good bit outside of it, and launches a stunner into the top right corner. It was nutso butso. It is also her sixth goal of the season. So like Louisville also has two games to go. She could keep creeping up that little ladder. So what a way to take it into the half. Must be feeling really good right now, as they should, as Salmon should. And then minutes after the second half begins, I believe in the 52nd minute, Salmon gets a pass from Taylor Otto and does like a bit of defending. She's kind of got like a little basketball, like defending vibe sometimes, the way she like kind of crouches down around it. She was doing that and then sends a no-look pass with her heel, like some a la Tobin Heath shit.
Love to see it.
Into the box to Katie McClure, who takes a sharp angle, like very sharp, like almost horizontal, angle shot to the far left corner. It makes her first NWSL goal, which is great, with that assist from Salmon. Then finally, in the 77th minute, Salmon is swimming upstream. Just kidding. She is making a run up the right side of the pitch and sends a nice little cross over to Yuki Nagasato. It's not the best thing you've ever seen, but it does the job. And she slots it in for Louisville's third goal of the night and their fifth win of the season. So, Ebony Salmon, we loved you in Bristol City. We love that you're getting some calls up to the senior lionesses. And we love you in Lavender, so you go.
Hell yeah. All right, my number two hat pick is Jess Fishlock and her incredible goal, another Brit with a fish, last name. Jess Fishlock is probably, in my humble opinion, the greatest Welsh player of all time. And I will probably die on this hill, and Gareth Bale and Aaron Ramsey can just absolutely suck it. All right? Because No. I know, again, that is not a niche reference, but I do understand that not everybody watches soccer the way that I watch soccer. So just know that they are two very well-known Welsh men who play soccer, and I don't really care about them as much as I care about Jess Fishlock. Anyway.
Men.
As if we haven't talked about her enough in past pods to prove to you that she is incredible, I shall bring forth to you, dear listener, this goal, which I think solidifies her at the top. On October 10th, in the year of our Lord 2021, Jess Fishlock scored a goddamn banger of a goal from almost 30 yards out. I really started writing the, like, I shall bring forth to you, dear listener, thing. And then I was like, I feel very Arthurian. I'm going to keep going.
Let's roll with this. Let's take this and run with it.
Anyway. Okay. So Sofia Huerta gets the ball just outside the 18 and, maybe just outside like the top of the half circle on the 18 and turns around to leave it for Jess Fishlock. This is like the 31st minute and Fishlock has some time and some space and still decides, gonna shoot. I'm just gonna shoot. And she winds up and slams the ball towards the top right corner of the goal. And then not only is it very clearly going into the goal, but it hits the bottom of the crossbar and then goes behind the keeper and goes in. And I don't care what keeper you are or how hard you try, that goal was going in no matter what. And unfortunately, so this game was against the Chicago Red Stars. And unfortunately, Alyssa Nair is out with an injury. And so Cassie Miller was the starting keeper for this game. And she hasn't seen a lot of minutes over the season because you have Alyssa Nair as the keeper. So, and she's not in this, just to be quite honest, she's not the same level as Alyssa Nair. And that's kind of what happens when you don't get the opportunity to have as many minutes or play at an international level. So, but just not to take away from Cassie Miller trying her hardest, but that goal was just
wow.
amazing. And I know, and that's really the goal that I wanted to focus on. But then I was like, you know what? Jess Fishlock got a brace in this game. So why would I not talk about the other goal? Because if you thought Jess Fishlock was done, you, my dear listener, are sorely mistaken. Not even 5 minutes later, she scores again. Not like they had one other chance. Oil Rain had one other chance. And then they had another chance not even a minute later. So it's like the 31st minute goal. Go get Jess Fishlock. We love to see it. 33rd minute, another chance. Nothing came of it. That's fine. 34th minute, another goal from Jess Fishlock. Now, this goal isn't as beautiful as the one before it.
Ouch.
Just from the sheer actual goal standpoint. But it was still pretty awesome because it was like a team goal. There were some incredible touches between the Oil Rain players. The ball gets sent around in some really sharp and clean passes. And eventually it goes out wide to Huerta, who services a great ball to the back post, where Fishlock is just chilling, ready for whatever's going to come to her. She's behind the defender. So they're sure as hell not going to get to it once she gets the ball. And Fishlock just gets her head on it and sends it down into the goal. And, you know, we love Jess Fishlock. She's amazing. We'll talk about her on any team that she's on.
Yes.
Just like Ebony Salmon. We love Brits with fish last names who play in the WSL and then come over to the NWSL and absolutely crush it. We have a pattern here and we Indeed. Shan't break it.
We shan't.
Anyway.
Great. Now on to our hat tips. So the golden ball for ladies. All right, so the Ballon d'Or is an award given out by some French magazine about sports, as I found out 30 seconds ago. For the men, it's been given out since 1956. For the women, it's only been given out since 2018, so only two people have ever won it, because in 2020 it was canceled due to COVID. So, very exciting that it's back this year. And our very own Sammy Bananas, Sam Mewis, was nominated, so that's pretty great. However, more realistically, there are also a lot of, you know, Kirby of, you know, both of them were nominated. So we feel like Sam Kerr or Viviana Miedema.
Yeah.
God damn it. Miedema. Like, probably one of those two will get it, which makes a lot of sense. But there's like a whole list of people who were nominated. But Sam Mewis is the only one from the United States. So you go, Sammy Bananas. On to our next hat tip, because we have lots of little itty bitty ones.
Yes.
Because it's our podcast. We do what we want. Thank you. South Korea legit giving the U.S. Women's National Team a run for their money in the international friendly this past week. And it broke the U.S. Women's National Team's winning streak on home soil. Like, they're still undefeated. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like, it's no longer a winning streak because that's a draw. And did you know that when you tie, you don't win? It's not a win. But for real, South Korea, your uniforms?
I'm obsessed.
So good. So good. Next, seriously crushing it. Like, I couldn't watch the whole game, but like when I did watch it, like they were fierce and like putting up such a fight. Their keeper was on fire, like stopping some great shit. Just, I'm so pumped. Like, I'm so excited that they like are doing so well, because like we said, even if it means U.S. Women's National Team doing worse because they're not winning all the time, like, if this level of play continues to be elevated, like we are in for some great soccer. So, yay! Great work, South Korea. And the most important thing that I will be saying today is that Carly Lloyd has one more game as a U.S. Women's National Team player. And we thank every god. We're not discriminating
all of them
against any religion today. All the gods out there. Praise. Bless up, if you will.
And I had to neither of my hat tips technically have anything to do with soccer. However,
the first one is like semi-related.
One is related, yeah. So Kalia Watt and Julie Ertz's husbands, I was going to say their actual names, but they get enough media attention. And you probably know who they are if you follow sports at all, so I'm just not even going to deal with it. Anyway, they both now play for the Arizona Cardinals, which is my local football team and the only undefeated team in the NFL this season. So that's fun. And
really?
Yeah.
That's surprising to me.
Yeah.
You're like, it is to everyone else too.
Well, they did really, really well last season. Obviously, they didn't make it to the postseason. They had some setbacks with injuries, but they are a really great team the past couple seasons. I still don't have my own football team. I could be an Arizona Cardinals fan. We'll see. But they're crushing it this season. And the media was also really fun about the Watts and the Ertzes being teammates. And they sent out some tweets. And we just really love the acknowledgement of the badass women in their lives who are also professional athletes who work together because they're both on the Chicago Red Stars. So it was just like a fun thing to acknowledge that they're all teammates.
Yay!
And not soccer related, but again, it's our pod. We do what we want. And I talk about the WNBA a lot anyway. And it would be wholly out of character if I didn't mention that the WNBA finals just finished up and Chicago Sky won the championship for the first time in their team's history, beating out my beloved Phoenix Mercury.
This is very big of you.
I know. It's hard. Honestly, I went to the first WNBA finals game, which was incredible because the WNBA did like the WNBA 25 because this is the 25th season. And so they honored the top 25 players in the WNBA, which were voted on by, I think the 25 was like put out by the WNBA. And then the fans voted on who was the greatest of all time, which of course went to Diana Taurasi. But they also had other players there. So I was in the same arena as players like Swin Cash and Lisa Leslie and Cappy Pondexter. And I just, it was incredible. Anyway, but congrats to the Chicago Sky, which is a team that I enjoy, and to Kalia Copper, who absolutely crushed. She was, so, I couldn't even be angry because she was just so, so good. And she won MVP. And if y'all weren't watching the series, let me tell you, you missed out. I yelled at my TV screen a lot. Stood on my couch like Tom Cruise, who's excited about his new love. Like, it was bad. And I hope y'all get your stuff together to watch the WNBA next season because it's incredible.
Incredible.
So go watch that next season.
I saw something. This is an aside, and I may or may not keep this, but there's something about Diana Taurasi, like, and a door.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. That is correct. So this series is, it's only 5 games. Because the WNBA, for some reason, only does a 5-game series instead of a 7-game series like the NBA does. Anyway, after game 4, which is the game that they lost to lose the whole goddamn thing, Diana Taurasi punched the door of the locker room and it left like a little dent in it. And then at the like celebration thing that the Chicago Sky had, where they like introduced, the, you know, the way that most championship teams do. They brought the door. It was on stage with them. And just the dedication to pettiness, I do appreciate because Diana Taurasi notably has a temper, pushed herself too hard and it really went downhill for the Phoenix Mercury with Kia Nurse getting an ACL injury. And Diana Taurasi really shouldn't have been playing that much because she hadn't fully healed her sprained ankle. And so to come that far and not make it to a game 5, Diana Taurasi was, of course, pissed, especially after they were leading most of that. Anyway, I should just really start my own WNBA podcast. But yes, there was a door. She punched it. It happened.
Cool. Yeah. I may or may not keep that, but I just wanted to – to know.
Yeah, I did go off on a tangent, so it would make sense that if you didn't keep that.
It was I was curious. I was like, I'm gonna ask Anna about this because I feel like she'll know. Anyway, shared number one today is postseason goodness.
Hell yeah.
Well, everyone, our beloved Portland Thorns have won the NWSL Shield, which means that they have the best regular season record of any other team. And they have also clinched a spot in the playoffs. Nice! Just some fun facts for you today, because we're full of them. The team that has won the Shield has only gone on to win the championship game twice. And that was the North Carolina Courage in both 2018 and 2019.
Wow.
We are obviously hoping to break that trend A, of the North Carolina Courage winning, and B, of the team that wins the Shield not winning the championship very often. So the Thorns did have a rough few games there for a bit, basically tying or losing several of their last five, but with a 1-0 win over Houston and a dope goal from Lindsey Horan, Portland sealed the deal.
You love to see it. The postseason race. I got it. I can read. It's fine. It's far from decided, though. OL Reign and Washington Spirit have also clinched their playoff spots, and the rest of the race is crowded, y'all. Here's a look at the standings. Portland, obviously, in the lead with 43 points, followed by OL Reign with 39 and the Spirit with 36. Chicago is in fourth with 35, and then Gotham is in fifth with 33, and Houston in sixth, and North Carolina in seventh, both with 32 points. If you can do math like I can do math, that is not a lot of points different between fourth and seventh place. And the top six teams make it into the playoffs. And hopefully North Carolina won't be one of them.
They've had a tough time.
Yeah, like I want the best for the players, but I also just am tired of them winning.
Yeah, that's fair.
Anyway, there's still a lot to be determined and some soccer still left to be played. Teams either have one or two matches left in the season. So getting or not getting 3 points could make all the difference. Again, because if you can do math, you know that there's not a lot of points different. That's the only kind of math that we can really do here.
If you want us to spell it out for you, which we can. You fucking turds. These people and their cars. I just get a muffler. My God. I'm not editing this. I'm going to do Pat Picks raw, unedited, rated X. And it's just going to be everything that you, it's nothing added. Anyway, just a reminder, Washington Spirit in third place with 36 points, all the way down to North Carolina in seventh, 32 points. That is 4 points between third and seventh. And even less, in fact, 3 points between fourth and seventh. Oh, don't you love math? Anyway, we are living for this level of competition. And it is just so great to see that while there is a front runner in the Thorns, and we love that, it's like pretty much still anybody's season for the remaining playoff spots. If we're going to go back to doing math, like Portland isn't even number one by that much. Like, you know, we should just call this a math podcast.
We shouldn't be doing math is really what should be happening.
A math and fish podcast. I feel like if nobody like knew about us and just saw the titles of our podcast sometimes, Alex Morgan got on a fart tube. Like, you know, I feel like no problem. Anyway, so excited about the postseason. It's coming up. Fun fact, if you haven't been paying attention or only listened to us, and that's how you know about soccer things. The championship match was supposed to be played on November 20th at Providence Park in Portland at 9 fucking a.m. The Pacific time. Because that's on the West Coast. Geography.
Wow, we are so educational. God. Math, geography. What's next?
I don't even remember the other subjects. Anyway. Certainly not grammar. Notably, players were outraged. This was going to be on a turf field early ass in the morning for the players. And an agreement has been made and Portland's on board and Louisville will be hosting the NWSL championship, which will be noon Eastern time. It's the same time, but the players won't have to start playing at 9 fucking in the morning. It's still hard from like a media perspective because that's still like a midday game and most championship games are not played at that time. Any men's game, it's going to be in the prime time at night. So that's kind of unfair still. But at least the conditions will be better for the players because the Lynn Family Stadium is a grass field. So that will be better for the players all around. So just as a other fun postseason tidbit for you, November 20th, which is like literally my biggest, it's convention. It's my biggest work event of the year.
Oh, no.
Is that day. And so I cannot go. I will, it's on Zoom, which is nice, but I will be sitting at home Zooming and doing that and not at this game, which it's fine. You know, I wasn't gonna be able to go if it was in Portland anyway, but
that's true.
You know,
But now that it's closer, it's sadder.
Yes. But Casey, my friend from Louisville, is going, and she said she'd take lots of pictures. So, yay! What a real one. Anyway. So this week, the NWSL announced a new interim CEO, which is essentially going to operate like a commissioner. It's Marla Messing, who is a, quote, long tenured sports executive to help do some damage control. She helped a lot with the 1999 Women's World Cup and does law stuff. So I just kind of wanted to see like who this person was in general, because I had never heard of her. But it seems like she was actually like the president of like the 1999 World Cup committee and like played a large role in getting them put in larger stadiums, like for like media stuff. And so it seems like she played a pivotal role in kind of that launch of women's soccer, which is good. And I think she's been on like an Olympic committee before, or I don't remember. I think maybe 1994. She also helped clinch LA. This is all kind of coming out. But you know, she's also like another white lady. And the way somebody put it, it's like, you know, we wanted some like whole milk to help get rid of these problems and we got skim, you know? So she's only been on the job for like 3 or 4 days, maybe like a week at this point. So like, it's probably still too soon to tell. But one of the things that they brought up is that Cindy Parlow-Cohn, who I forget where I saw it on Twitter, but like asleep at the wheel for U.S. soccer, is the one who called her to like apply for the position, you know? And I mean, she did mention that she like wants to be in conversation with the Black Women's Player Collective and has talked a lot to the NWSL Players Association. But it's like, okay, like you probably should have talked to them. Like you probably should have plans to talk to them. So right. It's like, I didn't want to have this as a hat drop, because it seems like she's like, you know, people are like, do you want the job permanently? Do you want this? And maybe she just knows the right thing to say. But I mean, her focus was like, look, we need to make changes here. I apparently like have talked with the Players Association and the demands have been like, you know, like they have a plan for how the demands will be met. Like, so it's just like a really kind of a mixed bag. Like my guess is they could have found somebody better probably to do it. I mean, it's also an intern position, so hopefully some good will come of it. But at the same time, as another like white bread woman, like.
Right, which is the same. Which is the same critique of the NWSL Executive Committee, which they started after all the allegations came forth, which has the Orlando Pride Executive Vice President Amanda Duffy, Kansas City co-owner Angie Long, and OL Reign Board Member Sophie Savage, which are all white women. And the main critique there was that they're all white women.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's nice to have women at the table, but this league is comprised and has a very vocal Black player collective. So why are we not including the voices of people who have consistently not been listened to? And also, you know, they've consistently not been listened to because you've been the ones ignoring them, and you have this opportunity and you still fuck it up. It feels astounding, but at the same time, it's exactly what to expect from this league. Like,
somebody called it on Twitter the National White Soccer League.
That's what all the leadership looks like. And I know that the people who have been put into these positions mean well, but it's the same argument consistently of
impact over intent.
If you know that there are other people who could do this, and like, you know, you could do a good job in this kind of position, but you know that there are people who could also do a good job, who you know are not going to get tapped for this kind of thing, and you have the power and the privilege to be able to say, actually, I think we should put this person in this spot, and you don't do that, you are perpetuating.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. This problem. And I think that the three women, particularly on the executive committee, which is not as dire as having a commissioner in that spot immediately, absolutely could have done that. And I think in the commissioner position, I understand that there is a need to do damage control. And that's essentially why they've brought in somebody who has the experience that Marla Messing has.
But she's a lawyer. Like, they brought in a lawyer, which in some ways is like, okay, like maybe knows how to handle things in a in a good way, but also probably knows how to cover your ass.
Right.
But I mean, I think that there's some hope that like these independent investigations that are going on will help resolve some of the issues, but it also is just so deeply seated that it's getting kind of harder to imagine like how this is going to get resolved.
I really think that if we're going to keep this league and not restart, I think the most effective way to actually see change in this league is to, as these players are retiring, because we're coming up on a whole group of players who are retiring, who have stood their ground, who have spoken out, particularly players from the U.S. Women's National Team, who have the platform, the money, and the time as soon as they retire, except for Carly Lloyd. I don't want her anywhere near any of this. To have those players be in these positions because they know what the problems are. They know what needs to be changed. And they know how to bring in voices and opinions and people who are capable and have the experience to share valuable input, who are not just a group of white women.
Yeah. So that's kind of what's going on right now.
She helped with LAFC.
Oh, yeah.
But that's the MLS. It's not Angel City, but it's the MLS expansion of...
Yes.
Oh, she's also served as an advisor for Barcelona, FC Barca.
Yeah, she did. Also... She was like one. Yeah, she was like one of the founding people. She like helped found the MLS, I think. So she's done some stuff.
There's no right answer to how to move forward with this league besides making massive change. But I think that we have found that there are plenty of wrong answers in moving forward. And yes. I think that the NWSL has consistently put their foot in their mouth. They shouldn't be surprised when we are all deeply critical of the choices that are being made.
As much as we are grateful that you, the four of you, listen to our podcast, you know, this kind of stuff is just a reminder that we need to be listening to Black voices in times like these and voices of those who are marginalized by the system. And so there are some great podcasts out there that talk about probably the same shit that we do, just way better.
Yeah, like
Diaspora mm-hmm. United Pod, Shea Butter FC.
Even the Equalizer Pod and Southside.
Yeah, so if you're here because you like soccer, check those out too. Because like we're two white ladies, like there's a limit to like, you know, we're trying to call out our privilege, but there's still a limit to like the perspectives that we can bring and what we can do. And we obviously bring our own biases into this. So check that shit out. Let's support those folks doing really, really good work. And let's continue this conversation because it's, again, far from over.
Absolutely. And if I get my shit together, I will share some of the social media, probably on Twitter because that's the easiest.
Yeah.
I can just like retweet their thing. But, you know, again, if you also find them on your own, that's also great.
Yeah. If we don't have to do the work, how amazing is that?
I just know I'm going to forget as soon as I leave this room.
That's fair.
To be quite honest, is what's going to happen. Anyway.
Sweet.
You should follow us on those social media things. you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at HatPixPod. And you can send us an email to talk about our Midge Purse fan club, yes. To talk about Brits with fish last names. You know, if you need some tutoring in math, yeah, we can definitely help you. Even geography.
Yes.
We could probably help you with that too. Yeah, just you can send us an email at hatpixpod@gmail.com.
So sick. Excellent.
Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, Anna and I used to be on a pretty regular recording schedule, and now it's more of just like whenever the fuck we can or want. So don't know when to expect to see us again, but we're going to keep doing it just in our own time. Yeah, it's all good.
It will continue to happen. It'll just be like a surprise for you when it does.
Oh, we have another podcast 6 months later. I feel like the most we've gone is like a month. But
you know. And I think that was like an intentional break.
Yeah, we did. We did. We took a break on purpose.
Yeah.
Cool. On that note, I'm Jillian.
And I'm Anna.
And this has been
the Hat Picks Podcast.